Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Thomas Schwenk, the Dean of the University of Nevada, Reno's School of Medicine, plus on the Power Pundit panel, Brian Wachter and Sam Kumar. It's all coming up next on all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
I'm Paul Enos, CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association. Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Chan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Chan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're delighted to welcome back to the program Thomas Schwenk. He's the Dean of the University of Nevada School of Medicine. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Happy to be back, Sam. Thanks.
So let me start out with what's going on in Southern Nevada. What are your thoughts with Len Jessup leaving the university as president? And now it looks like the dean of the School of Medicine, the founding dean, is going to be leaving at the end of her contract. And this whole imbroglio over donors donating money, but specifying that Len Jessup and the dean had to be in place for these donations to go through. And now they're looking at about, what, close to $40 million that may not be coming to UNLV.
Well, I don't have a lot of background knowledge or detailed knowledge other than what I read, so I can't really comment on some of the details of what's happening there. I will say that we want UNLV to be successful. We want the School of Medicine to be successful. It's part of a major plan for statewide public medical education. Our success here in Reno is part of that plan. Their success in Las Vegas is part of that plan. So I very much want them to sort this out. I don't know other background or other behind-the-scenes information. I just want to make sure that they do well.
Do donors ever say to you, hey, you know, we're going to donate X amount of million dollars, but only on the condition that you stick around?
Not in so many words. I think donors in general like to know the leaders they're dealing with. They like to see stability. They like a certain direction that a leader is taking, and they will give funds on the general hope or the general desire that that leadership will continue. I've never been asked to build anything like that into a donor gift agreement, and I believe I would certainly defer to our attorneys and our donor experts on this, but I believe that that in general is not something that the University of Nevada, Reno would generally agree with. We're certainly enthused about the continuity of leadership, but I think the specificity is probably not something that we would be allowed to do.
Are you concerned that in all of this, and certainly reading a lot of the comments, that the North-South rivalry is alive and well?
Oh, I'm sure it is. You know, I'm sort of a newcomer. I've been here 7 years now.
Only seven.
I've lived a lot of this, as you know, over the years as I came into the state and we started to work on this vision for statewide public medical education. And it seems to me that this rivalry has certainly preceded me by a long, long ways, and I'm sure it will follow me by a long, long way. It seems sort of built into the genetics of the state. I do think, though, that success by both medical schools will help that to some extent. The rivalry will probably show up in other areas. I think medical education was kind of a pawn for a long time in that regard. with a single school, with Reno roots, the difficulty in showing good service to Las Vegas. And so I think the medical school was an easy target, if you will, for some of that rivalry. If we can do what we need to do in terms of success by both medical schools and really build a strong statewide public medical education enterprise to each work in our own communities to develop the affiliations and the relationships, to each develop the partnerships with community physicians, with hospitals, grow residency programs, build up the student class. You know, as it is now, we suddenly now have 130 medical students a year in the state. That's a pretty exciting development. And in total now, probably headed towards nearly 400 residents in various specialties. So we're growing the enterprise. And if we can do that, maybe that'll take medical education out of the line of fire with this rivalry that goes on.
Is the UNR school still operating in Southern Nevada at this point?
We do have a very small tail of third-year students, kind of the final cohort. These are students who, when they enrolled now almost 3 years ago, thought that there would still be an opportunity to do their third-year rotations in Las Vegas, and we honored that. But that's the last group of third-year students. We hope and we will encourage fourth-year students to always go to Las Vegas for electives. There's fabulous teaching there. The teaching at UMC, the teaching, especially in some of the specialties that we do not have in Reno, is outstanding, has always been outstanding. Our students have always done extremely well. We want to encourage our students to look at residency programs there. And so we're going to encourage fourth-year electives, but we will not have any required experiences.
With the number of doctors that you're moving into residencies, how close are you going to be to having the number of doctors that we actually need in the state? Are we still well behind the curve?
We are still well behind. I mean, we're now on the curve, at least. And we were off the curve before. We were so far behind in terms of doctors per capita, almost any specialty, physicians per capita, residents per capita. We're doing okay with medical students now, but we really have to build the residency programs. But at least we're in the game now, and we are starting to have a little better penetration in that regard. And as you may know, there are hospitals in Las Vegas, for-profit national chain hospitals, HCA and Universal, both of those systems are developing separate residency programs. So we will start to have a pretty good cohort of programs and residents. And some of those hospitals, Mountain View, for example, in Las Vegas, is developing some programs that do not currently exist in the state, like anesthesiology, for example. So we're making progress.
And we'll be right back.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature Build Your Own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Thomas Schwenke. He's the dean of the University of Nevada, Reno School of Medicine. And you've got a partnership going with Renown, which is one of the major hospitals in Northern Nevada. Tell us about that partnership and how it's going.
As we came back to Reno and sort of disengaged from Las Vegas, the partnerships that we created here were absolutely essential to our success. We always had a relationship with Renown, actually going back to when it was Washoe Med, with some residency training, and that was fine, but we needed to really take that up several notches, which we have done, and we continue to grow and enhance that relationship. So if you walk through Renown Regional now, you will see signs everywhere that proudly proclaim that partnership. You'll see our students and residents in white coats that have both logos on them. It's a very strong partnership. Renown has supported the expansion of our primary care internal medicine training, expansion of our family medicine training, expansion of psychiatry, expansion of geriatrics. We are starting to work towards a new residency program in pediatrics, which will be very exciting, and that's in partnership with Renowned Children's Hospital. We have joint leadership positions in some of our departments. So it's growing very well. It's not without a lot of work. You know, we're trying to do something here that has never been seen in Reno, to build a real academic medical center. And it takes a lot of work, a lot of education, a lot of back and forth. And we come at this relationship from very different perspectives. We're very focused on research and teaching. Renown, very focused on high quality clinical care and a huge hospital and physician organization. And so it takes a lot of conversation. A lot of discussion. Are there glitches? Sure, as in any relationship. But every day, every week sort of advances the partnership. When we started this now 3+ years ago, we're kind of starting from scratch, maybe below scratch, in terms of understanding what this partnership could be. And we laid out a plan that could have been a 5-year or 10-year plan, and we're already blowing right past that in terms of how far we've advanced. The other partnership is with the VA and the VA Medical Center, and that's equally important. And what's great about that is that the two are very complementary. So the VA has some great expertise in some of their data sets, their clinical quality programs. They do a lot of training for our geriatrics fellows and our internal medicine residents. Our co-chair of our Department of Surgery is the chief of surgery at the VA, so they do a lot of teaching there. So it's a great synergism, I think, between Renown and the VA. And then, of course, we have relationships elsewhere in the community. But the biggest relationship, probably above all of that, is with the community physicians. The biggest partnership is with literally hundreds of community physicians who have taken on faculty roles and contribute in smaller and larger ways to our clerkship teaching and all of our specialties. We had to recreate whole departments that we gave up in Las Vegas. So a new department of surgery, a new department of obstetrics and gynecology, a new department of emergency medicine, a new department of neurology, and bring in community physicians plus our academic physicians to staff those departments. So it's been a huge amount of work, but those partnerships are critical to the success of that work.
Has the consolidation of the medical industry around the country, really, but specifically here in Northern Nevada, helped this process?
I'm not sure it's helped or hurt. I think that Renown's success is certainly critical in terms of the tremendous campus, quality of their facilities, the large network of physicians that they have. The VA, of course, is thriving, growing. They're about to start construction on a new patient tower, I think. And they're doing very well, unlike, I think, as is known, some of the problems with the VA system around the country. The operation here is outstanding. Their executive director, Lisa Howard, is an outstanding leader and has been a great partner to us. But we have not been hit yet with that kind of consolidation. I suspect that we are somewhat a target or look somewhat interesting in that regard, perhaps to some California systems, but I don't have any details about that.
It was interesting over the weekend. I was listening to a program that was talking about the Filipinos in Israel and around a big part of the world to provide support for the medical industry as caregivers. And I was wondering your thoughts on this. Is this something that you think on a larger basis the United States should be looking to countries like the Philippines to import care workers just in the same way that back in the 60s, Britain invited people from the Caribbean to be bus drivers and nurses? I mean, there's obviously a need and we're not having people fill it.
Yeah, we could certainly think about that. I do think there's tremendous capacity in the United States for expanding our educational programs for physicians, for nurses, for nurse practitioners, for physician assistants. And those opportunities are not tapped yet. So I'm not sure that we have to go outside necessarily. Medical school expansion and new medical schools have increased the number of U.S. medical school graduates tremendously. It used to be about 16,000 a year. Now it's going to hit 20,000, probably go to 21 or 22,000. But that's running up to a ceiling of numbers of slots of residency positions in the country because those slots are capped by a 20-year-old ruling from Medicare. So we have not seen many new residency training opportunities at the same time that the
really?
Number of students have really come up.
That's crazy. Why would?
Well, yes, we think so.
why would Medicare think it's in Medicare's benefit to cap residencies?
Well, I think their position, far be it for me to speak for Medicare, but I think the position is that they think that they are already the dominant supporter of residency training. They're not sure why they should be the ones to keep expanding and keep adding. It would be enormously expensive to grow the Medicare budget to support another 10,000, 15,000 residency positions. That's the kind of number we're talking about. That's the type of bill that's in Congress right now to expand residency training. But that's a big, big price tag. And I think the federal government says, look, commercial insurers should contribute. State Medicaid programs should contribute. State Medicaid programs do contribute a little bit. But there should be more of a broad multi-party approach to how residency training is supported, and maybe not just by Medicare. Medicare currently is far and away the dominant supporter, and there could be other sources of support.
And we're out of time, but come back soon.
Happy
to. We appreciate seeing you. Thank you.
See you.
And we'll be right back.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Chad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Brian Wachta is here. He's the Senior Vice President of the Retail Association of Nevada. And Sam Kumar is past Chairman of the Washoe County Republicans. So, Brian, it's interesting with all this talk of tariffs that the Chinese have micro-targeted the president and his base in terms of the tariffs from China to the United States. Your thoughts on this?
Well, this gets into really scary territory in terms of what ratcheting up looks like. We're at the point where China doesn't have the ability to increase their tariffs enough on our products that they can really retaliate against the president's threat of 100 billion new products. So then that begs the question on what does China retaliate with? And I think that's where we get into this unknown quality. And so I'm hoping that, over the weekend we heard the president kind of soften. We heard the Treasury Secretary say, he doesn't believe we're headed for a trade war. And so I'm hoping that, China comes out and follows that same suit and maybe softens their language and we move into more of a negotiated stance. I think that's the best outcome for everybody. We saw the stock market, start going up today. The tech stocks are returning. So, you know, I think there's a lot to be said about a softer negotiation period.
Sam, I was kind of surprised. I mean, you don't usually see the negotiations quite out there in public, where the administration, both Steve Mnuchin and Larry Kudlow over the weekend, were talking about potentially that there aren't going to be any tariffs from the United States on Chinese goods, and being questioned as to, well, you know, what kind of negotiating position is this? Either it is or it isn't, and you negotiate from there. You're not going to do it.
Well, you have the good cop, bad cop stuff going on because you have Mnuchin and Kudlow saying that, you know, we're not going to have an issue. And they repeated that so many times. At the same time, the president has been taking a hard line. But I think we are a long way from tariffs. You know, we start the process as a 60-day comment period and all of that. Even if we start tomorrow, it may be close to the late fall before anything gets going. So it's going to be turbulence in the short run. But in the long term, it's going to be good because China has been stealing our intellectual property. They know it. And U.S. is the biggest consumer market. They stand to lose more by picking this fight. And more importantly, I think there's another angle which I haven't seen getting much airtime, which is why would a country like China get the developing nation status? We should have some safeguards in terms of if you're spending more than 10% of your GDP on military, you lose that status. Because in essence, when you look at it, by allowing this to continue, we are essentially in a roundabout way subsidizing China's military buildup.
And Brian, it was interesting because if you go back to the climate accords, that we allowed China to have a 30-year period where they could catch up to us because they were saying that, you know, we had our industrial age and they need to have theirs.
Well, I think, you know, this you really could take it back to maybe a reform of the UN Security Council and whether or not that looks, you know, or is adequate to address what a modern world looks like. The fact that China has veto power and the fact that Russia does leads to all sorts of problems. Take, for instance, the Syria situation today. Yes, the UN Security Council's meeting. Is it going to matter? No, because Russia's going to veto anything. So, again, you know, China has that kind of power. So do we give them things that we traditionally wouldn't? I think so. And until there's reform on what a global community looks like, I think we continue to run into these problems.
Sam, your thought on that?
I totally agree with what Brian just said, because we are still looking at it. And, you know, Rumsfeld got in trouble a few years ago when he was the defense secretary, when he called Germany and France the old Europe. But we still have that old mindset where we need to go back and take a closer look. The question is, a body like the UN, changes are not going to happen. And you know, countries are very entrenched, and it's just going to continue. You almost have to have a different organization come out of nowhere that supersedes the UN.
As you guys have turned this into a foreign affairs discussion, John Bolton is the National Security Advisor. On day one, he's dealing with the Syria situation. Do you think that his reputation is going to come to the fore, or do you think that there's going to be a calmer John Bolton behind the scenes?
No, I think the president knew what he was doing when he appointed Bolton. It's kind of a wartime national security advisor, so to speak. Somebody who's not afraid to say we have options on the table. And I think a lot of this plays into the Facebook issue and you know, really Russia's attack on the democracy, if we're talking foreign affairs. The idea that political resolve is really the only thing that keeps, you know, us from really assuming our hegemon status in the world. And if we're going to continue to be attacked, we have a president who says enough is enough. And it's been interesting how the international community has tried to figure out how the president operates. And they've been surprised and they really haven't gotten the hang of it.
Sam?
The president has a very interesting style, as we all know. And John Bolton complements that style and in some ways doubles down. I think it gives the administration an opportunity because now John Bolton can be the tough guy and the president can focus his energy on other areas and step in as necessary. So I think it's a really good choice.
All right. That's where we're going to leave it. Gentlemen, an interesting week coming up. Thank you both. And we'll be right back.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools.
Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
On our next broadcast, Dan Schwartz running for governor.